Title: Macro Automation for Break Crunch Intermediate. All right, let's get into one of the most satisfying parts of drum and bass drums in Ableton, break crunch that actually moves. Because in DNB, break crunch isn't just distortion, it's controlled chaos. You want crisp transients, gritty midrange pressure, and that feeling that the break is breathing through the phrase without you having to babysit 5 plugins and a limiter the whole time. In this lesson, you're going to build a reusable break crunch audio effect rack using stock Ableton devices, map it to macros that make musical sense, and then automate those macros across a basic DNB arrangement, intro, build, drop, plus fills. By the end, you'll be able to make the same break feel clean and teasing in the intro, urgent in the build, and absolutely snarling in the drop, just by writing automation on a few macro lanes. Let's go. First, pick and prep a break. This part matters more than people think. Load a classic break into an audio track. Amen. Think funky drummer, anything with real attitude. Warp it tightly. Set warp mode to beats, and set preserve to transients. The envelope is your vibe control here. Start around 10 to 30. Lower feels punchier and more chopped. Higher smooths the movement out. Then find a clean one or two bar section that loops well, and consolidate it so it's a solid clip. And please gain stage before you start destroying it. Aim for peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dB before heavy processing. If you start too hot, every cool crunch decision turns into accidental clipping and harshness. Now we build the rack. Drop an audio effect rack onto your break track. We're building a chain that gives you bite, density, dirt for fills, movement, and safety. First device, EQ8 for pre-crunch shaping. Put a high pass around 30 to 45 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave, just to clear rumble. If the break feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe 1 to 3 dB. And if it's already fizzy, consider a gentle shelf down above 12 kHz. Teacher note: anything you do after this, like saturation or clipping, will exaggerate what you feed it. So this is you choosing what gets hyped and what gets left behind. Next, saturator. Set it to analog clip. This is a very DNB-friendly character. Turn on soft clip. Set drive somewhere in the useful range, like 2 to 8 dB, because we're going to macro it anyway. And adjust the output so bypassing the device doesn't create a huge volume jump. Loudness is a liar. We want crunch, not it's better because it's louder. After that, drum bus. This is where you get that extra smack and forwardness. Start with boom off for most breaks. Set transient somewhere like plus 5 to plus 25, depending on how spiky you want it. Drive and crunch can start low, because we'll map them. Now the fun part. Parallel smash. Open the chain list in the audio effect rack and create two chains, one called DRY and one called smash. On the smash chain, drop a glue compressor. Use a fast attack like 0.3 ms if you want it to grab hard, or 1 ms if you want a little more punch to survive. Release can be auto, or something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio around 4:1 for solid control, or 10:1 if you want it nastier. Pull the threshold until you're seeing about 6 to 12 dB of gain reduction. And turn on soft clip. Optional but very tasty, put another saturator after glue on the smash chain, with 1 to 5 dB of drive, soft clip on. That's printed aggression style density. Now set chain volumes. DRY stays at 0 dB. Smash starts at minus infinity. The whole point is we blend it in with a macro so you can add density only when the phrase calls for it. Next, controlled lo-fi dirt. Add redux after the parallel section. You can do it in line for simplicity, or in a parallel dirt chain if you want it subtler. Set down sample somewhere like 2 to 10, and bit reduction around 6 to 12. Be careful. Redux gets harsh fast, which is why we use it like a spice, not the main ingredient. Then finish with tone and safety. Add another EQ8 after everything. This is your fix what the crunch broke EQ. If things get harsh when you push the macros, a small dip around 3 to 6 kHz can save your ears. If it's still fizzy, a low pass around 16 to 18 kHz can be the difference between crispy and sandpaper. Last device, limiter. Ceiling at minus 0.8 dB. This is a seatbelt, not an engine. If it's working hard, back up and gain stage. Cool. Now we map the macros, and this is where you level up. Open macro mapping. You're going to build 8 macros that behave like musical controls, not random parameters. Macro 1, crunch. Map it to saturator drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB. Map it to drum bus drive, 0 to 10%. Map it to drum bus crunch, 0 to 30%. Optionally, map a tiny EQ boost in the 1.5 to 3 kHz zone, like 0 to plus 2 dB, just to bring the crack forward as you drive it. Expansion coach note, set safe ranges. Don't map the full possible drive just because you can. If the saturator sounds best from 3 to 7 dB, map 3 to 7. That's how you make a macro rack you can actually automate quickly without ruining takes. Also, do the gain comp trick. Add a utility at the end of the rack, or use rack output, and map a small negative gain change to the same crunch macro. For example, crunch also pulls utility gain from 0 dB down to minus 2.5 dB. That way, when you automate crunch up, you're not fooling yourself with loudness. Macro 2. Bite or presence. Map it to an EQ8 bell around 3.5 to 5 kHz, from 0 to plus 3 dB. This helps the break speak through a Reese, without you turning the whole drum bus into a treble weapon. If you want a leaner build, you can optionally map a very gentle high pass with auto filter, but use that tastefully. Macro 3. Smash. Map it to the smash chain volume. Bring it from minus infinity up to something like minus 8 dB, or wherever it starts feeling thick without flattening your groove. Teacher note, if your break loses bounce, it's usually because smash is too high or the dry transients aren't leading anymore. Parallel means the dry chain stays king. Macro 4. Dirt. Map redux dry slash wet from 0 to about 25%. Optionally map downsample from 2 to 8. Keep this macro subtle for the main groove and save the bigger moves for fills and transitions. Macro 5. Air trim. Map a post EQ high shelf around 10 to 12 kHz from 0 down to minus 4 dB. Optionally map a low pass from 20k down to 14k. This macro exists because crunch and dirt tend to create fizzy hats, and you want a fast calm down control. Macro 6. Monofocus or width. Add utility and map width from 100% down to around 70%. If the break has messy low stereo, you can also enable bass mono. In DNB, mono compatibility is not optional. Club systems will humble you. Macro 7. Filter sweep. Add auto filter near the top of the chain, before the heavy saturation. Set it to low pass, 24 dB slope. Resonance around 0.5 to 1.2. Map frequency from roughly 18k down to maybe 800 Hz, depending how dramatic you want it. Teacher note, filtering before saturation changes what gets distorted. That's more intentional than filtering after everything, where you're just hiding problems. Macro 8. Output or level match. Map rack output or the utility gain so you can quickly compensate. Something like 0 to minus 6 dB gives you room when the rack gets excited. Alright, the rack is built. Now we make it musical with automation. Jump into arrangement view. You're going to automate like a drummer, not like a graphic designer. That means your best moves happen at phrase points, ends of one bar ideas, two bar fills, and especially the end of four right before a section hits. Use the grid. Snap to eighths or sixteenths and make short gestures. DNB loves push-pull. Let's do a basic structure. 16 bar intro, 16 bar build, 32 bar drop, with two bar fills. Intro, 16 bars. Keep it filtered and teasing. Automate filter sweep, so it slowly opens from around 1 kHz up to 16 or 18 kHz across the intro. Crunch stays low, like 10 to 25%. Smash low, 0 to 15%, and maybe keep width slightly tighter, like 80 to 90%, so it sits clean while atmospheres and pads do their thing. A nice pro move here is making the intro breathe. Every 4 bars, do a tiny dip on the filter or a tiny reduction in crunch, like a little inhale-exhale. Subtle, but it makes the loop feel alive. Build, 16 bars. Now we'd increase urgency. Ramp crunch from about 25% up to 55%. Add a small ramp on bite from 0 up to around 30%. Not all the way, just enough that it starts pushing forward. Then, every 8 bars, do a micro stab with dirt. Spike macro 4 up to about 15 to 25% for half a bar. This is the charging up texture that tells the listener something is coming. And check your work at low monitoring volume for a minute. If it still feels exciting quietly, you're probably in the pocket. If it only feels exciting loud, you might be building a harshness bomb. Drop, 32 bars. You want consistency, but not staleness. Think, stable settings plus controlled variations. For the first 8 bars of the drop, set a default. Crunch around 55 to 70%. Smash around 20 to 35%. Dirt mostly off, like 0 to 10%. Air trim is needed so the hats don't shred. And if you did gain comp on crunch, you'll notice your automation decisions feel more honest. That's the point. Now bars 9 to 16. Call and response. On the answer phrase, push Byte up another 10 to 15%, and maybe Smash up 5 to 10%. Keep Crunch relatively stable so the groove stays glued. This is how you add excitement without changing the identity of the break. Then Fills, the last 1 to 2 bars of each 16. This is where Dirt finally gets to be a villain. Bike Dirt to 20 or 30% for one beat or half a bar. Combine it with a quick filter dip to maybe 2 to 4 kHz, then snap it back right on the downbeat. If you do a pre-drop suck moment, pull output down 1 or 2 dB in the last quarter to half bar. Close the filter briefly, and even reduce smash briefly, then slam everything back at the hit. The contrast makes the drop land harder without needing extra limiting. If your automation ever sounds sippery or glitchy when you sweep redux or filter cutoff, don't ignore that. Either reduce the macro range or smooth the move. The goal is animated, not glitch by accident. Optional workflow that's honestly a cheat code. Perform the automation. Loop 8 bars of the drop. Arm automation recording. Map macro 4 dirt and macro 7 filter to a controller if you have one, or just perform with the mouse. Do a few passes like you're playing an instrument. Then go back and simplify the envelope slightly so it keeps the vibe but loses the messy wobble. Before we wrap, quick common mistakes to avoid. If you overcrunch the entire drop, nothing feels special. Reserve the nastiest dirt moments for fills and boundaries. Always level match. Crunch adds loudness. If the snare loses its crack, you probably push too much in the 3 to 8 kHz range along with saturation. Use air trim, and consider a small dip around 4 to 6 kHz post-crunch. If the groove loses bounce, smash is too high, and always check mono. Wide crunchy breaks can disappear in clubs. A couple advanced upgrades. If you want to take it further, you can do two-stage crunch. One macro that's your main groove crunch, and a second macro that adds extra clip and redux just for fills. That way, the drop stays consistent while fills get nasty. In your smash chain, you can add an EQ before the glue and roll off lows around 120 to 200 Hz so you compress mostly mids and highs. That gives you density without low mid pumping. And if you keep losing snare definition when things get dirty, make a parallel chain called crack. High pass it around 1 to 2 kHz, add a touch of transient or saturation, and blend it quietly. It's like insurance. This audio version is shortened for playback.